We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 3, titled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, text 4. Kugudmino Vidha Nasodamitva Soyamvare Nagnajiti Muvaha Tad Bhagnamanan Abhigrithyatojya Jagrekshada Shastra Bhruta Swashastraihi Kakutminaha. Bulls whose nose were not pierced. Avidhanasaha. Pierced by the nose. Damitva, subduing. Swayamvare, in the open competition to select the bridegroom. Nagnajitim, Princess Nagnajiti. Vaha, married. Tat Bhagnamanan, in that way all who were disappointed. Api, even though, Gridhyadaha, wanted, Agnan, the fools, Jagne, killed and wounded, Akshataha, without being wounded, Shastra Bhridaha, equipped with all weapons, Swashastraihi, by his own weapons. Translation. By subduing 7 bulls whose nose were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnajiti in the open competition to select her bridegroom. Although the Lord was victorious, his competitors asked the hand of the princess, and thus there was a fight. Well equipped with weapons, the Lord killed or wounded all of them, but he was not hurt himself. So there is no purport to this verse, so we'll go to the next verse.
Priyam Prabhu Gramya Iva Priyaya Vithusirarcha Dyutarum Yadarthe Vajrair Adravat Tamsa Guno Rushandha Kridamrgo Nuyamayam Vadhunam.
Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijada tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord once went to the heavenly planet to present an earring to Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and his wife Satyabhama also went with him. There is a special flowering tree called the Parijata, which grows only in the heavenly planets, and Satyabhama wanted this tree. Just to please his wife, like an ordinary husband, the Lord brought back the tree, and this enraged Vajri, or the controller of the thunderbolt, Indra's wife, inspired him to run after the Lord to fight. And Indra, because he was a henpecked husband and also a fool, listened to them and dared to fight with Krishna. He was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to the Lord. There was no fault on the part of the Lord, even though he took away the tree from the heavenly kingdom. But because Indra was henpecked, dominated by his beautiful wives like Sachi, he became a fool. Just as all persons who are dominated by their wives are generally foolish. Indra thought that Krishna was a henpecked husband who only by the will of his wife Satyabhama took away the property of heaven, and therefore he thought that Krishna could be punished. He forgot that the Lord is the proprietor of everything and cannot be henpecked. The Lord is fully independent, and by His will only He can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not therefore attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife, but He was pleased with her devotional service and thus wanted to reciprocate the unalloyed devotion of His devotee.
ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणरणिता श्रीविशाखानितांश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिद्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यमा पुरो विभु निर्मायशेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकः सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे. हरे कृष्ण. So here, Uddhava is summarizing the pastimes of Krishna out of Vrindavan, having finished summarizing the pastimes within Vrindavan. So here, there are beautiful descriptions of Krishna's affectionate dealings with his wives. So in this couple of verses, we can see in the verse 5, or verse 4, we saw how Nagnajiti was taken as his wife by the Supreme Lord even after the fight. And in the next verse we can see how, just to please Satyabhama, the Lord brought the Parijada tree from the heavenly planets, and for that sake he had to fight with Indra, who acted as a henpecked husband as well as a fool. Now here, if you try to see the essential principle behind this pastime and the act of Indra, we can see that Indra dared to fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was blinded by his attachment. He was blinded by the desire for sense gratification. So this is the essential point we can learn from this pastime, how Indra acted. So Indra, he's a demigod, and he knows the Supreme Lord. There was Indra Vimohana Leela. Indra was bewildered, and the Lord showed his mercy. Even after that, Indra was foolish enough to fight with the Supreme Lord, thinking that whatever present in the heavenly planets belong to him. So this is foolishness. So it is mentioned he was not only henpecked but also foolish. Now if we try to ponder upon this principle, we can very easily see that when we are attached to sense gratification, we are blinded. So it is very much prevalent in the material world. If you look outside the devotee community as the first step, We can see people are completely addicted to sense gratification. And then even the basic moral principles are taken away. They forget even the basic moral principles. Because the sense gratification makes one blind and makes one's heart hard. We can see in the history, so many people, those who are attached to sense gratification, attached to power, attached to position, they got blinded and they couldn't even act on a human platform. So history is full of such people. It was mentioned, you know, great dictators like Mao in communist China. It is mentioned that he had some disease, and I don't know which disease was, but any doctor who would come to treat, they would never go back. So they come, they diagnose, or they will check the progress of the disease and the treatment. They would administer some medicine, and that was the end of the story. Because he was in fear. He didn't want to lose his position, and he didn't want anyone to know about his disease. So sense gratification blinds. In fact, Mao's wife made an interesting statement that people in general are addicted to sex. So that is the addictive power in the material world, because they don't know the addiction of power. If one knows the power and the addiction, the taste of power and position, then that is a higher taste. So this is her opinion. It's interesting. Because if you see the prayers of Queen Kunti, Janmaishri Shruta Shribhir Etamana Madhapuman, Naivahati Abhidhadumvai Tvamakinchana Gochara. If you see the different opulences which can blind one and which can take one away from Krishna, the most essential one, the most fundamental one is the wealth. Why is it considered? The wealth is the most fundamental one. Because if one becomes very wealthy, all other things can come. All other opulences can follow. And people, he can become quite famous. Family may not be, he may not have a high parentage, but now his family is very famous. He may not be very attractive, but so many people from the opposite sex can get attracted to such a person. He may not be very well educated, but he can employ practically unlimited educated people under him. So wealth is very powerful, and that wealth can blind one. And that desire for sense gratification, along with that wealth, that is the greatest enemy. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita purports that in the sense gratification, there is the so-called happiness. There is a tinge of happiness that the living entity can experience. So that tinge of happiness is the greatest enemy of the living entity. So it is a fact that there is a sensation of happiness in sense gratification. Even though it is temporary, even though it is not all fulfilling, still there is a sensation of happiness because the senses are coming in touch with the sense objects, and that is the greatest enemy of the living entity. And so the living entities are going for the sense gratification. We can see the same principle in our own case, that how the sense gratification, the attachment for sense gratification, can impede our spiritual life. Even while performing devotional service, there are so many desires that come to our mind. Even just the thought process in itself is distracting our devotional service. What to speak about if we succumb to gross sense gratification? What is the hope? One devotee was about to join a brahmachari ashram, and he was thinking to stay for a long time. So initially his dad was very upset, but his dad was a devotee, not necessarily from our sampradaya, but a Vaishnava sampradaya. And he wrote a beautiful letter to his son. He gave his blessings, and he wrote a beautiful letter to his son. He said, from his own realization, he said, there are two kinds of impediments in devotional service. He was sharing his realization. One is the normal obstacles that come in our devotional service in terms of different austerities that one must perform in devotional service. You know, maybe getting up, doing a task which is difficult. So there are different kinds of obstacles in that way. But apart from that, there is an impediment which is temptation. So he articulated in this way. It is temptation. There are temptations from the material energy in so many different ways for enjoyment. So these temptations are very dangerous and very difficult to overcome. And in our devotional service also, we can see that temptations come right in front of us in so many different forms. And then that is the time. It's a time of test. It's a time of challenge. That time, Bhagavatam verses may not come from our mouth or from the heart. It's a serious problem when such temptations are right in front of us. It can be gross, it can be subtle. There is a very interesting pastime in this regard with Giriraj Maharaj. He was a Brahmachari then. During the Juhu issue, the Srila Prabhupada was trying to get the Juhu land. So, Mr. Nair, he tried to bewilder Giriraj Maharaj by sending beautiful woman, so the so-called prostitute. He approached Maharaj, and Maharaj mentioned later that when this woman came and approached Maharaj, he started thinking, he was so beautiful and one can really fall for that. So he started thinking, if I succumb to this temptation, then what would Prabhupada think? Prabhupada had put so much of energy in me. He loves me so much and he has given me so much of opportunity to serve the mission. And now, if I succumb to this temptation, then what would Prabhupada think? How much it would displease my spiritual master, my guru. So like that, Maharaj started thinking. Then he could resist such kind of temptation and he could come out from that most challenging and difficult situation. So this is the affection to one's own spiritual master. So that relation to the devotees, the relation to the spiritual master, that connection, that can actually help one to get out from such kind of challenging situations. So that time may not be, philosophy may not work. It's a fact. Philosophy may not work because philosophy can remain on an intellectual platform. But the realized philosophy in terms of affection for one's own spiritual master, affection for the devotees who took care of us, those things, it can actually manifest in our heart and that can help us. So, yes, it doesn't mean that we don't need to study philosophy or anything. We need to understand the philosophy because that can give us the opportunity to develop a deeper relation with the devotees, deeper relation with the spiritual master, deeper relation with the deities, Krishna, Prabhupada. So, we don't deny that fact. So, there are tests and challenges in our devotional service. So, here, we can see that, as a pastime sake, at least, Indra has failed to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Rather, he got captured by the material attachment to his own wife and he acted in a henpecked way. So this is an unfortunate circumstance and Indra is not an ordinary person. He had prayed to the Supreme Lord. He had learned a lesson. He is the leader of all the demigods. And demigods is translated as, in Sanskrit, as Sura. Sura means devotee. So Indra is a devotee, but not a pure devotee. So he got attached in the situation and he had to pay the price because he had to fight to the Supreme Lord, whom everyone is supposed to give pleasure. To that Supreme Lord he had to fight. So that in itself is a fall down. Then of course he lost the fight and he learned a lesson again. So we can definitely understand this principle, because the material world is full of tests. Maya is an equal opportunity employer. You know, it's a fair go with everyone. Everyone will get that opportunity. It's not that, you know, no one, you know, some people, Maya tests only some people. Only neophytes are tested by Maya. No, even advanced devotees, everyone is tested by Maya. So this is our opportunity. When thoughts of sense gratification creep into our mind, it can happen many times during the day, or while chanting, or while devotional service. One need to understand that this is the time to resist. This is the time to take shelter of Krishna. So that is tapo divyam putraga yena sattvam shuddhet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. This is the tapo divyam. This is the austerity in Krishna consciousness. That is resisting Maya, fighting against Maya. This is tapo divyam. This is part of devotional service. So Rishabhdev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam advises his sons tapo divyam. It's very important. Just not just the austerity, not just, you know, getting up or, you know, eating less, not just that austerity. Controlling the mind. Getting detached from the sense gratificatory thoughts and focusing upon Krishna. So that is tapo divyam. Then putra. By that, what is the benefit? Sattvam shuddhyet. One's consciousness, one's heart becomes purified. And what is the result of that? Brahma saukhyam tu anantam. One can obtain Brahma saukhyam. One can obtain spiritual happiness. So the process of purification is painful and at the same time pleasurable. So it has the two-sided effect. One, it is painful because of the attachment. We don't want to give up sense gratification or the thoughts of sense gratification, which are impeding our devotional service. Because of our attachment, we think it is nectar. Even though it's of no value, we feel it is nectar. That is the meaning of anartha. Artha means something which has a value. Anartha means that which is useless. But because of attachment, we want to stay with that. So detaching from that is painful. But at the same time, the reward of that, the attachment that we develop because of that to Krishna, that is pleasurable. So the process of purification, sattam shuddhe, that is both painful and pleasurable. But we have to go for it, because there is no other choice. Because in Krishna consciousness, otherwise, we will be trying to light the fire, and at the same time, we will be trying to pour a bucket of water on the fire. So sense gratification going along with our sadhana and service is like kindling the fire and then pouring a bucket of water on it. So there is no progress to our devotional service if we continue this practice. So this is an opportunity for us, definitely, to wake up. Because we may be practicing devotional service, but we have to think how many material thoughts are lingering in our mind. We are harboring so many kinds of unwanted desires. And it is coming in our way, and the mind wants to stay with that thought for a prolonged time. And which is causing further thoughts. Dushpalena analena cha. Just like pouring oil into the fire. It is just increasing the desires of sense gratification. So this is the situation. And for us as devotees, the solution is we need to develop absorption. Absorption means the mind is actually engaged in devotional service. It is not just external devotional service, but the mind is engaged in devotional service. So it can happen anytime while singing Mangalarati, while dancing for Mangalarati. If the mind is actually absorbed in Krishna, the whole scene is completely different. Mangalarati is a completely different experience. Doing Arati to Radha Vallabha is a different experience. Attending the Guru Puja is a different experience. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a different experience. Honoring Prasadam is a different experience. Doing service is a different experience. The only thing is whether the mind is absorbed or not. Depending on that, we get a different flavor for devotion service. So this is our opportunity. We need to testify ourselves how this bhakti process works in our life. How we can actually take bhakti to the next level by absorption in bhakti. The activities remain same, but mind has to be utilized effectively. Then we can see the difference. Then we can see the result.
So then we can see the chanting improves. Kirtan improves. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam improves. Even speaking Srimad Bhagavatam improves. Everything in our devotional service improves. So this is by absorption of the mind. Similarly, when we speak about chanting, chanting is also, when we begin chanting, it is like a struggle. Right? Everyone remembers the initial rounds many times when we chant. It's a struggle. It is like riding a bike on a street with a lot of, you know, potholes. You know, it just, you know, goes inside, just come out, and sometimes gets stuck in some other thoughts, and you know, the lips are moving very fast and some sound is coming and the mind is elsewhere. So that's how it's like riding a bike in a road with a lot of potholes, and it's just going up and down. It's a jerk, and it's going here, sometimes falling down. So that's how it is. But when the mind starts hearing the holy names of Krishna, then it is like a road becoming a bit more smoother. Then it actually, we can just keep going. And the road is really smoother, and there is nice grip if we develop a little bit more attraction for Krishna. If there are thoughts of Krishna in the mind, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when we are hearing the holy names, that is generating thoughts about Krishna, then it's a smooth ride, much better. And of course, there is advanced chanting, which is, you know, completely filled with love for the Supreme Lord. As Kunti Devi says, you know, just like the Ganges flows to the ocean, it's a constant flow without any interruption and without any impediments. So such a flow of mind towards Krishna, that is the nature of Bhava Bhakti and beyond. So that is the chanting in that stage exists. So at least we need to come to the platform of attentive chanting, and we need to strive for that. We need to practically struggle for that. Abhyasena cha kaunteya kamuteya vairagyena cha grihati. Abhyas, by practice and detachment. And that detachment is getting detached from the unnecessary thoughts and bringing the mind back to the holy name. Now here, if we try to understand this pastime of Lord Krishna's, we can see that there is a perfect reciprocation between the Supreme Lord and his dear wife, Satyabhama, and in the previous case, Nagnandjiti. The Lord acts most wonderfully to his devotees. As we can read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna's childhood pastimes, the gopis, the elderly gopis, are offering just half a sweetmeat and asking, if you dance, we will give you the sweet. And Krishna then dances. And then the ladies, they clap their hand and they tell, you know, dance, dance, dance. Then they'll show the sweetmeat, half, not even one sweetmeat, just half of a sweet. Half rasagulla, half gulab jamun, that's all. And tell, if you dance, I will give you the sweet. And Krishna dances according to the rhythm of their clapping. So this is the Supreme Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, the Krishna dances and he acts as if a wooden doll would dance in the hand of a puppeteer. Yantra Daruvat. Yantra Daru means a wooden doll. A wooden doll in the hand of a puppeteer, you know, he can just pull the string, means the puppeteer has the full control over this puppet. And as he moves the string, the doll actually dances in the same way these elderly gopis had full control over Krishna. They could control Krishna with their clapping and with a little bit of sweet. So this is the glory of Krishna. Atma Vairyanda Vadanyata. This is the quality of Krishna. That is, his affection for his devotee is glorified, that Atma Paryanda Vadanyata, his magnanimity of giving himself to his devotees. So Krishna's highest quality in relation to his devotees is considered Atma Paryanda Vadanyata. He is ready to give out his independence to his devotees. So here, this is an example for that. We can also see in Damodar pastime how
Mother Yashoda could bind Krishna. And seeing, thinking about this pastime, Kunti Maharani expressed her bewilderment. She mentions, you know, bhiraviyat bibheti. Even the fear personified fears seeing Krishna. They cannot stand in front of Krishna because Krishna is abhay. Still, the Lord became fearful seeing a small stick in the hand of Mother Yashoda, and she had to throw away her stick to make Krishna peaceful. So this is the control of the devotees over Krishna. So it is so amazing. So here in this verse, there is a word used, kridamrugam, kridamrugo. Kridamruga means henpecked. So kridamruga is used to explain the position of Indra being attached to his wife Sachi. And also Krishna is apparently acting as henpecked. So Krishna is actually addressed in this kind of terms in Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere. In the verse, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the conversation between Karabhajana Muni and Maharaj Nimi, it's a famous conversation because in that conversation, there is a description about Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangavang Astrapashadam Yajne Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. So that verse comes in the conversation between Karabhajana and King Nimi. So in that series of verses, there is a verse in which it is mentioned, Mayamrugam Deidepsidam Anyadhavan Vande Mahapurishate Charanaravindam. So there the Lord is again described as Mayamrugam. So there are three meanings to that. One is in describing the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. Because in Lord Ramachandra's pastime, what is the meaning of Mayamrugam? Who is Mayamrugam in Lord Ramachandra's pastime? Marichi. He's a Mayamrugam. He's acted as a Maya deer, you know, an illusory deer to captivate Mother Sita. And, you know, then Mother Sita wanted that deer and Lord Ramachandra had to chase after. And finally, brought to a situation where Ravana could kidnap Mother Sita. So, there it is, Mayamrugam is in connection to Lord Ramachandra's pastime. And in connection to Mahaprabhu's pastime, this Mayamrugam is used to describe the so-called materialistic people who were running around in the world, and the Supreme Lord chased after them and converted them into devotees. So the Lord traveled throughout India chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and dancing, and he made so many people into devotees just by the power of his chanting. So Mayamrugam is referring also to the materialistic people who are in this world. And finally, the deepest understanding of this Mayamrugam is describing Krishna himself, because Krishna acted himself as a wooden doll in the hands of Srimati Radharani and other gopis. So they acted in any way, Krishna acted in any way that they wanted. So in that way, the Lord there is addressed as Mayamrugam, just like Kridamrugam. Here it is describing Indra, and it can also describe the Supreme Lord, because in the hand of his devotees, he can act in any, he can do anything. However, we shouldn't think that the Supreme Lord is dependent on that. He is agreeing to be controlled by his devotees. So Krishna's supreme independence remains intact, even though he agrees to be controlled by his devotees. So here, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this point, that the Lord is fully independent, and by his own will only he can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not therefore attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife. So even though there were so many queens in Dwaraka, the Lord was not attached to them because seeing their beautiful body or beautiful face. Rather, the Lord was captivated by their loving devotional service. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned that Satyabhama's prema bhakti captured the Supreme Lord. And so he decided to give the Parijata tree as a gift to Satyabhama. So this is the magnanimity of the Supreme Lord, being allowed to be captured completely by his devotees. So we can see in Nectar of Devotion, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describing different qualities of bhakti, different qualities of prema bhakti. The final quality that is mentioned, the final characteristics that is mentioned, is called Sri Krishna Akarshani, right? Kritva harim prema bhajam priyavarga samanyutam bhaktir vashikaroti iti Sri Krishna Akarshani mata. So that is the definition of Sri Krishna Akarshani. This is the definition of the attractive, all attractive bhakti. Kritva harim prema bhajam. He makes the bhakti, the prema bhakti, has the ability to make Krishna addicted to his devotees. Prema bhajam, addicted to the prema of his devotees. Priyavarga samanyutam. And it's not just Krishna is being attracted, but Krishna along with his devotees, and Krishna along with his dear consorts, they are being attracted by the bhakti of the devotees. So it's not just only, Krishna, Radharani, all other devotees, they all get attracted to that bhakti. So there is a mention in Srimad Bhagavatam that Pandavas are in such a great position that all the great sages and all the great devotees would visit Hastinapur to see the Pandavas. So the question could be raised, why all the great sages and all the great devotees, they are going to meet Pandavas? So Sukadeva Goswami explains in a very interesting way. He says that Gudham Param Brahma Manushilingam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives with the Pandavas. We know he stayed for quite some time with the Pandavas. So all the different sages and all the devotees, they are all getting attracted to the Pandavas. So the Pandavas' bhakti is not only attracting Krishna, but all the great sages and the devotees. So they are all coming to meet the Pandavas along with the Supreme Lord. So this is the attractive nature of bhakti. And here, Satyabhama is actually demonstrating her bhakti. And that's why the Lord is being captivated by her bhakti and decides to even fight with Indra to get the Parijata tree. And obviously, he becomes successful in the fight, and Parijata trees become the part of Dwaraka Dham. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Why this happens? Because the question is that after 20 years of practice of devotional service, a devotee is regretful of losing the opportunity for sense gratification for past 20 years. Right? So why is it so? It is because one is not serious in Krishna consciousness now. Forget about the past. Forget about the past 20 years. Currently, now, whoever is in that position is not very serious about sadhana. Chanting is not good. There is no sufficient hearing and there is no sufficient service. So the mind doesn't have any absorption in Krishna consciousness in terms of hearing or chanting. So naturally, there is no taste. And can see that, and I'm sure it was the case before also. Hearing and chanting was not very strong, neither service. So one couldn't develop any taste for Krishna consciousness. So one can feel regretful about the past. This is a very unfortunate circumstance. Having given the opportunity, still couldn't make use of that rare opportunity. So it's very unfortunate. Usually devotees, even though some devotees may not be able to practice so strictly, but they are very grateful for the services that they have done in their past. That is generally possible. Due to some reason, they are unable to do the service nicely, unable to chant, but still they are grateful about their past, which is very good. Because Krishna sees that, and Krishna will give further opportunity. Even if one leaves with that consciousness that I had done so much of service, but now I can't do it, I am not doing anything, I am in Maya, but I desire that service, Krishna can even take them to the spiritual world, because that is full of service, or give a life in which one can perfect the life. Because there is a gratitude for the service that one had already performed, and there is a desire to do service. So what you mentioned is pretty sad situation. So the only way is getting back to track, doing devotional service seriously. Because if you want to develop taste, if you want to relish Krishna consciousness, one has to be serious. So, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param Akama Sarvakamava Mokshakama Udaradhi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. If one wants liberation, or one wants to fulfill all material desires, or one is devoid of any material desires, one must perform devotional service vigorously, Tivrena, with intensity. So devotional service is to be performed with intensity. It is not a casual thing. But then only we can develop taste. Intensity is required. Otherwise, material energy is very intense. And material energy has intense engagement opportunity. So if one is not intense in devotional service, then whatever is left behind is utilized by the material energy, Maya energy, and Maya will engage. So, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. So this is the solution. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Okay, any final question? Yes. Spirit soul in as such cannot relish material pleasure, but the spirit soul identifying with the matter relishes material pleasure because of false ego. So spirit soul, when covered by ignorance and thus by false identification, falsely thinks that he is enjoying. Falsely thinks that he is enjoying, even though in actuality he is not enjoying. So that is the role of false ego, false identification. So the pure spirit soul is not enjoying, but the conditioned spirit soul is, yes, he is enjoying in that sense. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.